All right. Hope this is loud enough to record it. I started something back the last time I was here. I actually started a message that I like to preach and teach things. All the Word of God speaks to me, but and if you save long enough, it should speak to you if you let it. If you get yourself a steady diet of it, it will speak to you. Last time I was here, I started it on a Sunday morning, and as is usually what happens to me, I got sidetracked. And I am notorious for going down rabbit trails, and we just had a good time, and I probably didn't even get to point one on that message. So it's a message that speaks to my own heart. I dug it out again when Pastor asked me to preach and teach tonight. I want you to go to Psalm chapter 27. Go to Psalm chapter 27 with me. And as you go there, when you get there, we're going to take another brief moment and ask the Lord to honor His Word tonight. If your life is like mine, Deb and I are the last 4 years have been interesting years, to say the least. And there's been just what Debbie ended up, my wife Deborah, yesterday we, on our way up, we realized it was our 42nd wedding anniversary. And we had a marvelous time in the car. We dined on hard-boiled eggs and some cheap cheese and some good crackers and some off-brand Coca-Cola. So all of you husbands, take that note, all right? After 42 years, I really wined and dined her in my five-year-old Impala flying up from low-level flying from North Carolina. But if you're like us, and I'm just amazed over the years how much all of us go through the same things. Your life tonight is probably full of clutter. Some of our houses are full of clutter. But if your life is like mine on any given time, your life can get so complicated as a believer. Now, 41 years ago this Easter, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's been a real journey. It's been a wonderful journey. But at any given time, your life can get complicated. Your life can get filled with clutter. Financial problems come out of left field. The American dream, let me just tell you right up front right now, the American dream does not exist anymore. Not the American dream that my mom and dad knew. And they're dead and in heaven many years now. We struggle for things, the things that you're subjected to as a young couple, the things that your children are subjected to. I'm going to be honest with you. I was not subjected. I'll be 61 years old in a few days. I was not subjected. I watched Ozzie and Harriet. Nobody even slept in the same bed. It was amazing. Now, I could never figure that out because I knew my mom and dad slept in the same bed, but Ozzie and Harriet did not. We are subjected to things, and our lives can get cluttered. All of a sudden, somebody in the family's got cancer, and there's financial problems, and there's personal problems. If you've got anybody in your family, guess what? You've got personal problems. Then let them get married. Then you know what happens? You've got more problems. Because now they've married somebody. And it's all good. But my point is this. At any given time, I've got to go back and simplify my life. This dear lady over here, I preached a message on many, many years ago. I still have it, by the way, in my message files, on the simplicity of Christ. And Andrea Scroy gave us, Deb and I, a wood carving that simply says the word simplify. And in one of the rooms in our house, it sits on the wall shelf, and it reminds me to simplify my life. We're going to look at what God says about simplifying my life, and we're going to look at one thing tonight. Justin, if you want a message, a title for the message, I've already preached one thing. It won't be the same message, I can guarantee you that, all right? Tonight, we're actually going to teach the message. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, when I did not want you, and when I was not looking for you 41 years ago, you captured me. You saved me. You have kept me. You have redeemed my life from destruction. You have given my wife and I a purpose that goes far beyond anything we can see with our human eyes. You have given us the Holy Spirit of God to live within us, and the Word of God, the very words of the living God, to be our counsel and our guide. And Father, I want you to understand, Lord, I know you do. I don't need more church. I'm churched out. I'm churched to death. I know how to do everything that everybody thinks we need to do in church. I need Jesus Christ more tonight than I have ever needed Him in my entire life. I want to know you, Father. I know you as Savior. But I want that intimacy in my life, Father, that perhaps I really don't have the way I want it. And Lord, I do want it tonight. And I know, Father, we've got believers here who just recently came to know Christ. But may they see tonight that all the complications of life, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, boils down to one thing. Father, may you honor your Word as I know you will. Guide us and direct us even tonight. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at Psalm chapter 27 with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now look at verse number 4. One thing, those two words are repeated many times through the Scripture. We're going to look at maybe four of them tonight, God willing, four of them, because we're going to try to simplify our lives. I have a great desire to simplify my life and to keep aware of what is really important in this world. Because the world will dictate to me what they think is important. And God says something completely different. And as I said, a man taught me many years ago, if the world's going this way, you know it's wrong. Go this way. Now, some of you have yet to get there with that, but that's the Word of God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David saying this, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Even if you can't carry the proverbial tune in a bucket, you're supposed to sing. I will sing unto the Lord. Praises unto the Lord. Verse number 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted. He didn't say fainted. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Now, we Americans, we don't wait on anything. And I can tell you one thing for sure. We New Yorkers, we wait on even less. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One thing have I desired, have I longed for the Lord. I want you to look at verse number 1 with me. This Psalm of David is a psalm of a man pouring out his heart to God. We have taught good doctrine in this place for 35 years. I was pretty much from the cradle of salvation up, was blessed to be around men who knew the Word of God, had good doctrine. We came here as a young family with Mel Sabaka and Gene Sabaka in the early days. And right from the very beginning, good doctrine was preached. But I want to say something to you tonight. I want to say good doctrine is absolutely important. But you can have good doctrine and not know God. This psalm, and as I'm beginning to look at the Word of God, I don't read the Word of God for information anymore. I read the Word of God to see the face of Jesus Christ on every page. He said, seek my face. Now, I don't want to minimize good doctrine. My pastor knows that. We've been together for a long time. We do not minimize. You better know the book. You better read it. You better ask God to open it up for you. But let me say something. When trouble comes, it's Jesus Christ is the one who died for you. Somehow we've made Christianity this abstract thing. Christianity is a person. And without that person, you have no life. You have no good doctrine without that person. Doctrine did not die for you on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me on that cross. David said, I just want to see my Savior. I want to know that. I know He lives within me. That's good doctrine. But he made that statement in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path. Jesus Christ said He would order my steps. He would be my guide. I can tell you what, from the age of 20, I got saved at the age of 20. I'm at a place in my life, you know what? I don't want to take one step. I want to just look around and say, Lord, is this the right way to go? My pastor opened up a door, and I'm telling you what, I've been wrestling since November, brother. Not that I don't want to come back here, but I want it to be of God. I would rather work at Walmart as a greeter. Can you imagine that? Me and John. Glory to God, brother. My boys, they really laugh at that one, okay? I would rather work at Walmart at 61 years old. I've been in the harness of the gospel ministry since the age of 20. I've got my ordination papers hanging on the wall. If you want them, you can have them. I would rather work at Walmart knowing the hand of God is on my life than to be back here and not have the hand of God on my life. And I love this place. This place is where I learned how to love God and love people. Look at verse number 1. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I want you to know that in Jesus Christ tonight is the strength of my life. Without Jesus Christ, the personage of Jesus Christ, this reality that God is real, and I've got all my doctrinal ducks in a row, but Jesus Christ is the strength of my life. Can you look at Isaiah chapter 26 with me? Jesus Christ is the strength of my life. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. And I'm going to repeat some things. You must read the Word of God. If you go into the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is in a dung pit and he's lamenting that God has forsaken him and God's told him to do something to the nation of Israel and Judah and to preach to them. And he's become the outcast because he's the prophet. And he makes a statement in the book of Jeremiah that he wants to quit. And he says, "I was weary with forbearing, but the Word of God got down into my bones." When the Word of God goes from your mind into that place, what we call the heart, what the Word of God calls the heart, things begin to change in your life. And from your heart, the Word of God will get down right into the marrow of your bones where you actually move and breathe. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you realize that Christ is my life. And you don't even know how it happened. Right, baby? You don't know how it happened. But you just kept walking. And you kept loving Him. And you got things happened in your life. Things happen. People are going to betray you. People are going to say things about you. You're going to lose your way sometimes. You could be right in the heart of the ministry and somebody just says, "I don't need you anymore," and you have to leave and go deliver flowers for 4 years. But you want to know something? Somewhere in that journey, that book got down into my bones. And I'm going to say this to you. That's what this church needs, brother. You know why I know this church needs? Because every believer across this globe needs that. It's got to go from my mind. I want my Christianity to be more than just I can give you the right answer. Because you want to know something? Probably I could give you the right answer. Pastor and I, we've been together. We've matured in Christ. We could probably, and others in this place, probably give you the right answer. But there's a lot more to Christianity than giving you the right answer. And let me say this to you. If you're a young Christian, this doesn't really happen overnight. But boy, you can start it now. You can get into that book and say, "Lord, just will you just speak to me, Father?" We call Him Father. You know why we call Him Father? The book says He's my Father. My earthly father's in heaven, been there since 1995. But I got a heavenly Father in 1970. He's my Father. Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter, Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 26, look at verses 3 and 4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." The Lord Jehovah. Now, without this book, I know nothing of Jesus Christ. You're not going to sit under the proverbial oak tree and by osmosis and some spiritual incantation get to know Jesus Christ. It doesn't work that way. You must spend time in this book. You must either rise early or stay up late. It is going to be a sacrifice. It's just like being married 42 years. You want to know something? I have to work at my marriage. I don't know about anybody else. My marriage, we weren't even saved when we got married. And I'm a very difficult person to live with. Believe it or not. And she's prayed for me. And she's loved me. And you know why we're together 42 years? Because we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and decided along the way to fall in love with Jesus Christ, to love Him first, that we might learn to love each other best. You can go to all the marriage counseling. Some of it's good. Most of it's not good. Some of it's good. We've done it around here. When I sit down and read my Bible with her, she'll say, look what it says here, baby. And I'll from the other room say, and all of a sudden I'm reading along and she'll say, listen to what Psalm chapter whatever says. And she starts quoting the Word of God to me. Jesus Christ is my strength tonight. Can you look back at Psalm 27 with me again? Look at verse number 5. Psalm 27, verse number 5. Jesus Christ, He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I might seek after, that I might dwell in His house all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. The strength of my life, in verse number 1. I want you to notice in verse number 5, for in the time of trouble, He, it's a person tonight. He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I've not only got Jesus Christ as the security, as the strength of my life. I've got Him tonight as my security in time of trouble. Jesus Christ is my security. Would you look at Psalm 61? Keep your finger in 27. Go to Psalm 61 too. Jesus Christ is my security in time of trouble. He is the strength of my life tonight. Look at Psalm 61:2. Psalm chapter 61 says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Did you ever notice how much crying is done in the book of Psalms? Do you ever notice how much trouble there is in the Word of God? And here we are, we just kind of lollygag through life. Just kind of lollygagging through life. And then trouble hits. And we wonder, what in the world's happened? I know Jesus. It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. Jesus told His followers, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. Do you know how I work my way through problems? I keep my face in the book and seek the face of God. And I'm still troubled sometimes. And you say, well, why are you troubled? Because I've got too much clutter up here. My heart's fixed, but I get too much clutter up here. That's why I shaved my hair off. Because I figure without the hair, maybe I'll have less clutter. And you go back and you reread and go back. I've got about a dozen verses. Listen to me, folks. I got about a dozen verses. When all hell breaks loose in my life, you know where I go? I go back to those dozen verses every time that I knew the first year I was saved. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Lean not unto your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Security in the time of trouble. Psalm 61:2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart, look what it says, beloved. When my heart is overwhelmed, I don't care whether you're saved. I do care whether you're saved or not, but to make the point is like this. You can be saved and your heart still be overwhelmed. Who's kidding who? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord God, I need help. Somebody says, oh, you Christians are always, it's like you always need a crutch. You want to know something? I'm not ashamed of any of that. Jesus Christ is the one I lean on. I want you to know that tonight. I do my best, and I can, hey, Some of us were street punks before we got saved. You want to know something? I'm not ashamed. You know who I lean on tonight? I lean on my Savior. Lord, will you help me? Will you just help me, Lord? Show me. Show me. Direct me. Lead me. Do you know at 61? You know 50 is not middle-aged. I mean, you do realize that, right? I mean, some people live to be 100, but do you know that Moses wrote in Psalm 90, I think it's Psalm 90, God gives you 70. You know what that is? That's 70. That means middle-aged is 35. Some of you guys need to wake up. You're middle-aged. Corey, you're getting close to middle-age. Still beautiful, still gorgeous to death, you know. Gorgeous, beyond gorgeous, but don't forget, you're middle-aged. I'm 61. You know what? I'm getting closer to that 70 mark. I'm in my last season. My mother died at the age of 66 of a stroke. Her mother died at the age of 66 of a stroke, almost to the day. You know, they tell me I'm genetically predisposed to my mother. I got 5 more years, and I'm winging my way out of here, guys. I'm in my last season. And you don't know what your last season is. My 9-year-old grandson just came through a bout of cancer at the age of 7. Could have been his last season. It was not. He's alive and well and overweight. Okay. And my hero, Jesus Christ, is the security. My security in time of trouble. Look at verse number 5 also. He said there in verse number 5, you go back there to Psalm 27. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. The secret of his tabernacle. John, the disciple, the one who leaned his head. We talk about being a man's man, you know. Here was a hardcore fisherman who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him, fell in love with him, leaned his head on the breast of Almighty God. You want to get close? John did. Jesus Christ, after the crucifixion and then the resurrection, John, somewhere around 90 AD, probably a few years before, he's thrown on the Isle of Patmos. And on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus Christ gives him the revelation of the future. Jesus Christ did not give that honor to one who walked on water. Peter. He gave that honor to somebody who would just have a harsh desire to get close to him. To fall in love with him. To say, Lord, none of this makes any sense to me. The only thing that makes any sense is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 6. He's the strength of my life. He's the security in time of trouble. He tells me, he will tell us his secrets in his tabernacle. Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Jesus Christ will tell you things that he will not tell the man on the street. And I'm convinced from the Word of God, what bride does not know when the bridegroom is going to marry her? Jesus Christ is going to tell us. Be assured of it. The day we got married, she knew exactly when we were going to get married. I had wooed her as a 19-year-old boy. We fell in love as seniors in high school. We talked about marriage. We talked about children. We weren't even saved. But she knew the day she was going to get married. What bride does not know the day that the bridegroom is going to step out? I don't know when that's going to happen. But you want to know something? I want the bridegroom to speak to me. Look at verse number 6. It says the sacrifice of joy. Verse number 6. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Do you know that those two words just don't seem to go together? Sacrifice and joy? That just, you know, I mean, let's be honest. We think of joy being, oh man, just ecstatic over, you know, we always equate happiness, and happiness is because of happenings. Circumstances can bring you happiness or unhappiness. Joy is something that goes much deeper, all right? Remember when Jesus Christ was going to the cross? In the book of Hebrews it says, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Sacrifices of joy. No sacrifice when it comes to Jesus Christ. Listen to me, beloved. No sacrifice. When you get close to Jesus Christ, no sacrifice will be a burden. If it is a burden, and I can tell you this, my mind has been cluttered with some things, but the clutter was what burdened me. It wasn't my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's, Lord, how do we sell a house in China Grove, North Carolina? How do we come up here? How do we start all over? What's the pay going to be? What's this? What's that? What's this? On and on. I'm being honest with you tonight. What you see is what you get. If you don't like me, fire me now, please. I got no problem. I've been fired before by the best of them. Clutter does not come from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Pure joy comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all this other stuff that clutters my mind. And I got to say, Lord, my heart is fixed. My heart, I've sat down, read my Bible, and said, Lord, what is wrong with me? I'm not a novice at this. I know what's coming. I know what the devil does. I know what his angels of light do with your brain. But it still happens. And nobody is immune to attacks. Nobody. You know what I see in verse number 8? Verse number 8, he says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know what I have to be satisfied with? I have to be satisfied with his claims on my life. You know, Jesus Christ will make claims on your life. If you don't think he's going to make claims on your life, I want you to read Luke chapter 14. We won't go there because it would burden some folks down. And I'm not going to go there. But I want you to read Luke chapter 14, the entire thing. And you're going to get down to a verse where Jesus gives the standard of discipleship, of following Jesus Christ. Don't be a dabbler. I take a little of this. Well, here's where it's at. Oh, I like a little of this, and I like a little of that. Christianity is not a smorgasbord. Here's the menu. It is what it is. But what we've done is, some of us have gotten into this thing of being a dabbler. We dabble in this a little bit, and we dabble in that. Jesus didn't want dabblers. He wanted disciples. The servant is not greater than his Lord. One thing have I desired. Strength of my life. Security in time of trouble. Secret. He tells the secrets of his love in his tabernacle. Sacrifices of joy. Satisfied with his claims on my life. I'm reading a book by his wife, a missionary couple that went to the Philippines, New Tribe Missions. And he was a pilot, and the Muslim terrorists in the year 2000 took about 6 Americans hostage, trying to get money. And Martin and Gracia Burnham, the book is called In the Presence of My Enemies. And for just over 1 year's time, they were dragged from pillar to post, tree to tree, plant to plant in the jungle of the Philippines. And in the rescue attempt, when the United States government finally got involved, in the rescue attempt, Martin was killed by friendly fire. Three of the other hostages were also killed. But she went on and she wrote the book in the presence of my enemies. Came back to God, back here to the States. But in the last message, one of the last messages and that Martin spoke in his church out in Kansas, he said to the people, God did not call me to be a missionary. Now listen. God did not call me to be a missionary. God did not call me to the Philippines. God called me to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the guide. All of a sudden, a door will open and you'll say, Lord, I'm not even sure I want to go through this door. And you get no rest. And you get no peace. Because way down deep in your bones, the Word of God got a lodging place. And you can't get away from the biblical fact of a relationship over 40 years. You can't get away that all you really wanted to do was follow God. Follow Him. Just follow Him. Would you go to John chapter 9 with me? One thing have I desired of the Lord. I began there because I want us to have the right person. You know, there's a lot of things being named in the name of Jesus Christ. You must start with the right person. Christianity is about a person. We know you have to be in the Word of God, and there is a right text and there are many wrong texts. We know that. But even if you've got this old Reformation authorized King James Version, you can have the answer to every theological question and still not know Jesus Christ. It takes a lifetime of living. I feel right now in my life after 40 years, 41 years, I feel that I am just now beginning to touch the hem of His garment. And you know what? I can feel the virtue. I want Him. I've had Him inside for 41 years. I've been in the saddle since the day I got saved. In his words the other day, he said, brothers, we hit the road running. We did. I was saved 5 years when I moved from Canton, Ohio, with a wife and three little babies. My oldest son was 5. The youngest was 8 months. I was only saved 5 years, and we were here on this island. That is not to pat any of us on the back. We are nobodies. But you know what? I hit the road running, and I got so busy with doing and building and working and do. It's taken me 41 years. Lord, I don't want to miss You. I think I've missed You. I got my doctrine right. I got the right book. But sometimes I feel like I miss You, Lord. Go to John chapter 9 with me. You got a man born blind, and I'm not going to go through all of this. But there's a phrase once again in you get around verse number 25, and he's been questioned by the Pharisees, and he's trying to be patient with them, and they want to know how his eyes were opened, and he starts out with just a little statement, and then they keep asking him again, and he keeps whittling his statement down because he's getting a little frustrated with them, because he knows that they don't really want to know really how the eyes were opened. They just want to hang the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get around verse 25, and he answered and said, whether he be a sinner, because that's what they're saying. They're saying, listen, he did it on the Sabbath. He did it on the Sabbath. You don't heal people on the Sabbath. Religion says, it's not the way to do it. You don't teach the Bible. We've got our own doctrine. Verse number 25, and he said unto them, and he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. One thing I know. Can you go back to the day when you got saved? I can. I've never gotten over that day. I have gotten sidetracked, I'll be honest with you. But I've never gotten over that day. I always go back to that day, and I remember what it was like to be lost. Don't be so hard on the lost out there. Remember what it was like to be lost. That's why when people say, well, I just like the entertainment in my church. Let me tell you what. I got a taste of entertainment, and this church can't hold a candle to the entertainment that I used to love. I wouldn't go to church for entertainment. You'd find me someplace else with a lot more different people if I really wanted entertainment. He said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You not only have to have the right person, you better have the right persuasion. If you're not saved in here today, and when that word, don't be afraid of that word, it's coming to a saving knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ, your only substitute and sacrifice. It's got nothing to do with denomination. If you would just give the Word of God a hearing, Jesus Christ pops off the page. We not only have to have the right person, we have to have the right persuasion. There are those who know about Jesus Christ like Herod in Luke 23. We won't go through all this. There are those who know Him personally. John the Apostle said that in John 21. There are those who know about Jesus Christ. There are those who know Him personally. There are those who know Him in confidence. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy. I am persuaded. But you want to know something? There are those who we need to know Him intimately. Intimately. That woman and I have been together for 42 years. We were lovers the first year we were married, and I'm not ashamed to say we're still lovers. I love her to death. Spirit, soul, and body. She is my best friend. Some of you men, you cringe at that. I'm glad you cringe at it. I'm going to say it one more time. I watch Pastor Mike and Margaret, and you want to know something? I'm happy to death for them. Because they deserve each other. Jesus Christ put them together. I watch them. They're happy. You know what? That woman and I are happy. You know why? Because Jesus Christ captured us. And we learned how to love Him first. And then learned how to love each other best. You got to know Him intimately. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3, that I might know Him. When I read my Bible now, I don't read for information. I say, Lord, I want to see Your face. Show me how You help, Lord. Show me about heaven. Show me about Yourself. Show me about how You're our hope. The right persuasion, the right person. Can I take you to Luke chapter 10? This is a neat one. This is just one of those portions of Scripture that, I was part of this. I fit into probably Martha in Luke chapter. Go to Luke chapter 10 with me. I fit into Martha. Please don't misunderstand me, because it's easy to do. There are things Jesus Christ wants you to learn how to serve. But I'm going to be honest with you. Not being a novice at Christianity, having been in church work from the moment I was saved. In Ohio, 32 years here, 4 years now in North Carolina, Lord opening doors coming. But you want to know something? I know for a fact that you can serve without loving. We come from a Bible-believing Baptist persuasion. It may not be on the door. It may not be on the sign now. But I grew up in fundamental Christian, born again, Bible believing, right Bible, King James. And you want to know something? I know you can serve without loving. I also know you can't love without serving. It's a very fine line. I would shame myself if I told you how many years I just struggled going through the motions. I knew what to do. I got pretty good at it. As I said earlier, I've had enough at church. Now, church is right. Don't misunderstand me. This gathering of the believers is biblical. It's what's supposed to be done. But just because you walk through the door and open a King James Bible doesn't make you super Christian. Okay? Somewhere along the line, God's got to work you over. God's got to draw you. Troubles have to come into your life. Heartache has to knock at your door. Financial reversals. Please, beloved, if I could just give you a little bit of my heart, don't be afraid of those things. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to get to know your Savior intimately. Don't be afraid of them. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I think I'll close on this one. Luke chapter 10. We must have the right person. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Let's get this calamity and clutter and let's go back and simplify our life. Wake up in the morning and say, I don't know how to do that, brother. Let me tell you what. Do what I do. Get on your hands and knees and say, Lord, I said this to one of my boys. Lord, just get on your hands and knees and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, and I want to do what's right. Will you show me? You think that your Heavenly Father, if you get in that book, is not going to show you? Of course He is. Now, if He shows you and you don't like it, you're wrong. He's right. Because God has said some things to me in the last 4 years. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't like it. And God just kept saying, yeah, but that's the way. We can't pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. If I look at some of your Bibles, it's like mine. I have some things circled. I have some things in red pen, red marker highlighted. I have some things in the old like yellow highlighter. I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I like to take a black pen, the marker, the big fat one with the wedge on the end of it, and just go, bleh, 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 bleh. Whole chapters. I don't like that. Bleh. I don't need to read them. I can't see them anymore. God says, just because you blacked it out doesn't mean it's not there. And it's like, Lord, you know what this boils down to? This boils down to, Lord, just lead me. Whatever you want me to do, I don't understand it. I don't know how to get back here, folks. God's truth. I don't know how to do it. And I don't think He does either. And we've laughed and we've cried and we've talked. And we've loved each other. And we've talked about our Savior. And we've loved our Savior for the last couple of days already. And you want to know something? Like, Lord, if you want this, you just got to do some things that we can't see. I don't. Somebody would say, nah, just pull the plug. No, I pulled the plug on some things and it wasn't of the Lord. And I paid a price. Remember, last season. I don't have many more years left to make too many mistakes. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm rather serious about this thing called Christianity. Without it, I'm lost. I don't have a life. I'm lost without Him. Lost. I'm without Him. Look at Luke chapter 10. Look at verse number 38. We've got the right person. We've got the right persuasion. One thing I know, I was once blind, but now I see. Now I want you to look at the right priority. Now it came to pass in verse 38, came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Martha was a good woman. Not a doubt in my mind that Martha didn't love the Lord, but she got caught up in serving. And Jesus rather corrects her here. Now, I go back to my thing, you know, you can serve without loving, but you can't love without serving. Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. It's good to serve the Lord. I've tried to do it all my Christian life. Your pastor too. We hit the road running. Many of you the same way. Fell in love with Jesus Christ. I wasn't saved as a child. I was 20. Some of you may be saved later than that. If you were saved as a child, glory to God. But I can tell you just personally, Debbie Dean and us and myself, we hit the road running. And we started to serve. I wasn't even sure why I was serving. I mean, I had a heart for God. I knew He had saved me. But I'm going to be honest with you. I ended up like Martha in verse 40. At times. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to Him and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left?" Can you just see it? Can you see Martha getting in Jesus' face? Think about what she's just saying here. "Lord, don't you care?" Maybe she was a little Italian. Who knows? Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me." Lord, tell her to help me. I'm doing all this. Hey, she's serving Jesus. Jesus came into her house. That's a good thing. Let Jesus into your house. That's a good place to have Jesus. In your life, in your house, in your car, in your business. It's a good thing. Now look at verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, when Jesus says something twice, you better pay attention. Martha, Martha. I like to get into the story. Sometimes I could see the Savior just kind of, he didn't wear glasses, but I could see the Savior going, "Martha," I said that to my boys. "Oh, Lord, man." And I called my boy by name and repeated twice. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care." It doesn't mean she's watching herself. It's like the word wonderful. It's full of wonder. Careful means she was full of care. And look what it says. Careful and troubled about many things. She's serving. You will always find Martha serving. It's a good thing, beloved. Don't stop serving Him, but get the right balance. Fall in love with Jesus Christ as you're serving. Just don't go through some... It's just religion. We start going through the motions. One religion's as good as another. One denomination's as good as another denomination. And I don't care whether they're totally pagan or seem to be okay. One denomination is just as bad as another. She was full of care and troubled. And look at 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary, look what it says. Mary hath chosen that good thing which cannot be taken away from her. Can I say something to you? Everything tonight can be taken away from me. If you go back and read the book of Job, everything but his wife. And she was not a blessing at the time. Now keep something in mind. She was going through the same thing that he was. She had lost children. She had lost her income. Her husband's full of boils. So don't be too hard on the wife. But having said that, she was not much of a helpmeet to him at the time. But you know what Job didn't lose? And he didn't even have Christ. He did not even have Jesus Christ like we do, Holy Spirit living within. But as you read that book of Job, he had a relationship with Almighty God. Do you know what Mary had? Mary has a relationship. You can take everything away from a believer. For a year and a few odd days, the Burnhams imprisoned in the Philippines, no Bible. No Bible. No church. No fellowship with believers. Nothing godly. They're captured by bloodthirsty Muslim terrorists connected to Osama bin Laden. But you know, as you read her book, they did not lose their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why she entitled the book, In the Presence of Mine Enemies. Go and read the Psalms. David completely always went back to it. And you know what? If you look at David's life, it was like dysfunctional. Come on, let's be honest. But David somehow, way down deep in his bones, got a hold of Jehovah God. Martha was doing what was needful, okay? She was serving. Mary, rather, chose what was needful. Tonight, listen to me. There is one, I want to simplify. I don't know about you. But I can tell you myself, I'm just going to tell you from my heart, I want to simplify my life. That doesn't mean I sit with my Bible in a monastery on the backside of some hill with no human connection. That does not mean that. We have to go to work. We've got to go to the grocery store. We've got to deal with people. It is okay. That's part of living on planet globe, on planet Earth. But you want to know something? In the middle of this calamity, and in the middle of all of this chaos, and in the middle of all this clutter, I want to keep my relationship with Jesus Christ, number one. Because if I don't, we're going through the motions, folks. And I don't want to know something? You're here. You chose to be here tonight. You know what that tells me? You're not wanting to go through the motions. You're wanting to know more about Jesus Christ, or you wouldn't be here. I can tell you why I'm here. I want to know more about Jesus Christ. Three things. One thing have I desired, the right person. One thing I know, the right persuasion. And one thing is needful. We must have the right priority. And the priority, she chose that one thing that could not, shall not be taken away from her. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.